Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have all of you with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We are glad you're with us and do hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage you to look in the seat racks in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards to give you the opportunity to ask questions of the church, leave information, give us the chance to know you better. Members and visitors alike can use these cards for prayer requests, and they go in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. At this time, also, I'd encourage you to find the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. If you would sign them and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. At this time, I'd like to call your attention to our bulletin. We have announcements in the front and a calendar of upcoming events near the back, and I have one announcement I'd like to highlight for you this morning before I open it to any of you who have announcements. We have our first Deo Clinic support concert of the fall coming up next Saturday at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. This is something we're continuing from last year, where we host concerts, and the proceeds of those concerts go to support one of our community health clinics for people who lack access to health care. So if you would like to volunteer, you can speak with me after worship or email the church office. We have needed folks to usher, help set up, welcome guests to the church. So any of you who are interested, please do support. And if you can't do it this week, there will be opportunities later in the fall as well. And now I'd like to open it to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Up top.
Good morning. Several of you may have seen in the newspaper yesterday, there was a rally held in Dalton Friday night, and it was basically in support of immigration reform, and in particular the continuance or some way of what's continuing the DACA movement, which has been in the news lately. And DACA stands for Deferred Action for Children Arrivals. And this deals with children who were brought as immigrants to this country at a very young age, most of whom now are young adults, either working students or serving in the military. And there's some local leaders going to Washington, D.C. this Friday to talk to our legislators about that issue. And if you'd like to learn more about
thank you, Hilliard. Are there others? Yeah.
Just a reminder, if you currently volunteer with children or youth, you should have received an email or a text about training today. And then Sunday the 24th of our child protection policy, this is our mandatory annual training. I promise it'll take less than 30 minutes, I promise. And then I believe Katie and Joe Beth are going to, afterwards, anyone who's interested in helping with Children's Church, and you all may have something else to say about that, but to stay on. So please, either this Sunday or the 24th.
Thanks, and that'll be up in the fellowship hall immediately following worship. So thanks to all our volunteers. Are there others? It was a great joy to gather this morning in worship, and with that joy, let us celebrate God's presence with us. Let us worship God, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. And let us pray. Creating God, time passes, seasons change, but we come here looking for something lasting. Through the stories of generations long past, through songs and prayers passed down, through examples of faith and faithfulness, through the memory of this community, speak to us, fill us with your Spirit, that we would worship you today and hope for you tomorrow. We pray through the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, from the beginning you have claimed us as your people. You have led us through fire, water, and wilderness into the promised love of Jesus Christ. When we are alone, you are with us. When we are lost, you guide us. When we are broken, make us whole. Yet we have failed to follow you. We work to find our own way instead of yours. We attempt to build ourselves up at the expense of others. In all that we do, we have sinned and fallen short. In your great mercy, forgive us. Renew your spirit within us and unite us in Christ's ministry of care and compassion, that we may live in the hope of your presence in all things, that we may show your love in all that we do. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship.
Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm going to ask a question, and I might need your help with it. Do you remember what we talked about last week? Do y'all remember what we talked about last week? Let's not push. Okay. We talked about communion. You remember there was food on the table, there was a cup, and there was bread. And so I brought a cup and some bread that we can all look at together. Do you see that? There's a plate with some bread on it. You can pick up the bread if you like. Would someone like to touch some of that and pass it around? Can we pass it to our friends? And then what's this? What's this? A cup. And do you remember what we do with the bread and the cup? We eat the bread and we drink from the cup, and we call it communion or the Lord's Supper. And so we still do that today. Exactly. And you dip the bread in the cup. You remember that was a good job, Mary Lois. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story. And it's from a long, long time ago. And it's the first meal that the people of Israel get to share together in a special way. It's called Passover. Can you say Passover?
Passover.
And so when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God was going to lead them out of slavery and away from the people who wanted to hurt them. And so God said, in memory of this, we'll all have a meal together. We'll have lamb. We'll have bread that's unleavened. Do you know what unleavened bread is? It's very flat, and it doesn't taste as good as regular bread. But the reason it was unleavened is because the people had to leave in a hurry. And that was the meal that they call Passover. It was celebrating God leading the people out of slavery in Egypt. So years and years later, Jesus was sharing a meal with his disciples. And it's the meal we remember as communion. And you know what meal that they were sharing together? Do you know what it was called? It wasn't called communion back then, but you know what it was? It was Passover. So years and years later, when Jesus was with his disciples, they were remembering the time that God led the people out of slavery in Egypt. And that's what we still remember today when we have communion. So yes, we remember Jesus and his sacrifice for us and the freedom that we have through him. We also remember that we're a part of the story of all God's people, including Israel, that goes a long time ago. So maybe that's something you'll talk about in Sunday school sometime when you talk about Moses and Aaron and the time God led the people out of Egypt. And maybe you can think about that next time we have communion here too. So thank you for listening and for your help in sharing this story with all the people out there. Will you have a prayer with me? Will you put your hands together and close your eyes? Okay, you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your love and for feeding us. Help us to remember and so share your love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Listen for God's word. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. We continue with the Exodus story and God's deliverance of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Last week we heard about how God sent Moses to announce this deliverance to Pharaoh. And in the meantime, Pharaoh has been resistant and plagues have come upon the land. So here at last is the final straw, the last time that God sends Moses to Pharaoh and announces deliverance to the people. From the book of Exodus, listen for God's word to you. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole family and the congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb should be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat of it. They shall eat of the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning, and anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. And all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it in perpetual ordinance." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we listen to your story because we want to live it. We want to live in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us through your word that we would listen with our heart as well as our ears, that we would go from here telling your story with our lives as well as our words. Teach us to work as Jesus worked, to live as he lived, to love as he loved, and so grow into his likeness and image. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's a story every child would know, and they would hear it year after year, repeated at the Passover meal. Why is this night different from all others? It's a perpetual ordinance, generation to generation. Children would learn from their families. They would learn this story. So Mark Twain said that he would never let schooling get in the way of his education. You don't go to school to swing a baseball bat, cook a meal, tie a bow tie, or knit a scarf. You don't learn this story at school. But somebody probably taught you some of these things. It might have been a parent or a friend or a neighbor. Someone took the time to tell you something that was important, regardless of what you did at school. Probably wasn't straightforward like sitting in a desk facing a chalkboard or taking a test. That's not how we learn things. You might have realized, might not have realized what was happening at the time where you learned it. But since it is September and it's back to school, and our church has been busy reading to children at Blue Ridge and promoting literacy, I've been thinking about what it means to learn and what it means to teach. I can't help but remember Scout Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. And maybe you read that book at school or at least skimmed it. Scout had been reading since she was born, or that's what her brother Jim said, and she hadn't even started school yet. So on her first day of school, the first grade teacher, Miss Caroline, wrote the alphabet on the chalkboard and asked if anyone in the class knew what that meant. Scout says everybody did. Most of the first grade had failed it last year. Scout hears her name called in class, and she reads the alphabet. Then the teacher is puzzled and so makes her read from the class textbook and then stock market quotations from the Mobile Register. Scout says she discovered I was literate and looked at me with more than faint distaste. Miss Caroline told me that to tell my father not to teach that to me anymore, it would interfere with my reading. Teach me? I said in surprise. He hasn't taught me anything, Miss Caroline. Atticus ain't got no time to teach me anything, I added, when Miss Caroline smiled and shook her head. Why, he's so tired at night, he just sits in the living room and reads. If he didn't teach you, who did? Miss Caroline asks good-naturedly. Somebody did. You weren't born reading the Mobile Register. Jim says I was. Scout continues like this for a while. Miss Caroline does not believe her. She says, now tell your father not to teach you anymore. You best begin reading with a fresh mind. You tell him I'll take over from here and try to undo the damage. Ma'am, your father does not know how to teach. You can have a seat now. Scout is puzzled and she doesn't understand this. She knows that she can read in church. She understands the hymns. She just understood one day. She doesn't remember when she was sitting reading with her father Atticus, and all of a sudden the markings above his finger turned into letters and words that she could understand. It's like magic. And sometimes the best teaching happens when we're not even aware of it. Because someone taught us the important things in life: how to treat other people, how to care for people in need, how to work, how to play, how to love. I can't count the number of times, sometimes it has to do with direct intervention, because I can't count the number of times we've had to tell our toddler to share or to play in a certain way because you're supposed to treat people with kindness and respect, or at least not to push your sister during the children's sermon. But most of the time we teach through example, and that can be a good or a bad thing. It means other people watch us for how to behave. They watch us and they learn. Rarely do we begin with lessons and then apply them perfectly in everyday circumstances. We don't tell our children to share and then watch them do it without any effort perfectly every time. They share when they watch us share. That's how they learn. They treat other people well when we treat other people well. I use the example of parents and children because it's familiar to me, but this is not the only way that we teach other people or we learn from other people. This is true for all our learning. We learn from others. Learning happens subconsciously. We learn from family. We learn from friends. We learn from church, in the communities that shape us. If you work in business or a particular professional field, that has affected the way that you work with others. And this is why companies have their own distinct corporate cultures and why they hire people with similar values and traits. This is why lawyers go to law school and learn to think and perceive the world in a certain way. Because only after you graduate do you then have the information you need to practice law. Someone taught you, but you watched, you learned, you became a lawyer before you actually practiced law. This is why there are lawyer jokes in the first place, because you become part of a type. It's unavoidable. And this isn't a bad way to think about the life of faith. It's inevitable that you become a part of a type. Because one of the reasons we have a church or a community is that we learn in a way that only other people can show us. Because the bar for entry in church is really pretty low. It's a confession that we are broken and incomplete, that we want to do better and become the people that God created us to be. That's it. That's all you have to come in here for. We want to do better here. The rest of the life of faith is just learning how to be here and learning how to live in this new way. So at church, you meet people who have been in your shoes and know how to face things like crippling self-doubt or a sense of meaninglessness or deep anxiety. Coming to church, whether you know it or not, means learning how to live with a chronic disease or how to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Coming to church means learning how to hope, even in the middle of grief, or how to find purpose in work, how to love people that you would otherwise have no occasion or certainly no desire to love. This isn't done through a neatly arranged class or a Sunday school curriculum. There is no curriculum for the pressing questions of life. There is a gospel, a story, not a set of lessons you can copy out of a book, not a set of rules that you memorize. It's a way of life. It's a story that you tell to other people, and you tell it by joining it, by living it. You learn by participating. Sometimes you don't even realize that you're learning it. So at first glance, in our story today, it might seem like God is being rather directive with the people of Israel. Do these things, and this is what it means. This is the institution of a Passover. God is giving a rule, a command of how to be, how to perform, do a ritual in a certain way. And so you heard specific instructions about how to prepare the sacrifice and what kind of animals should be sacrificed and what kind of day to prepare the sacrifice and what kind of side dishes you can have. And God even directs the way in which the people are to eat the meal with sandals on feet and staff in hand, standing at the table ready to go. God isn't teaching the people a set of arbitrary rules that come from an arbitrary God. God is teaching the people how to join in something bigger than themselves, and a story of redemption, how to live in the world as free people, not as slaves, how to live in the world as God's people and people who listen to God. The stakes are pretty high. God is going to strike the land of Egypt and kill the firstborn of every house that does not follow this pattern. And that's the difference. The way of following God leads to life. The way of ignoring leads to death. It's a strange way to say it, but God tells the people that accompanying God into the unknown, doing something strange, going into the wilderness of faith, is ultimately a matter of life and death. And the people are learning this, they just don't know it yet. So God gives these instructions to Moses and Aaron, and then they pass it along to the people in the next story. We can imagine there's probably a bit of confusion. Why are we rounding up all these lambs? Why do we need to kill them at sunset again? Does this count as a blemish? How are we supposed to do this? We've never done this way before. How do you learn? Garrison Keillor tells a story about a time when the people in his community and his family would gather to slaughter pigs and put away meat for the winter. He might have been like any young child caught up in that first Passover, but he didn't quite understand what was going on. He says, "I got as close as I could, and I remember that my cousin and I got sort of carried away in all the excitement, and we went down to the pig pen and started throwing stones at the pigs and watched them jump and squeal and run. All of a sudden, I felt a big hand on my shoulder, and I was spun around, and my uncle's face was 3 inches from mine. He said, 'If I ever see you do that again, I will beat you till you can't stand up. You hear?' And we heard. I knew at that time his anger had to do with the slaughter, that it was a ritual, and that it was done as ritual. It was done swiftly, and there was no foolishness, no joking around, very little conversation. People went about their jobs, men and women, knowing exactly what to do, and always with respect for the animals that became our food. And throwing stones at pigs violated this ceremony, this ritual that they went through. There are two lessons here. One is spoken, unspoken. The spoken one is obvious enough. Don't do that. Don't throw rocks at pigs, or there will be consequences. But the other is the quiet, unspoken lesson, that this kind of stuff is serious work, and that matters of life and death deserve our attention and respect, and so does everything that lives. And that's why the practice, the pattern, the way of life, or in Keeler's words, the ritual, that's why we learn from it. It takes the observant practice of a community to learn a lesson like this. So God tells the people of Israel, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it in a perpetual ordinance. Which means for a long time, families would gather around dinner tables, staff in hand, eating bitter herbs. And they had participated in something bigger than themselves. Not so they could learn how to sacrifice, or not even so they knew exactly what it all meant, but so they could participate in this life and live as people who had been freed by God to become more than slaves. It was how they learned to live with hope. It was and is a matter of life and death. This is why Jews still observe the Seder, and this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. We remember the words, we observe the patterns, not because they are in and of themselves important as symbols. We do it because it's what it means to be a part of a church, participating. It's a signpost on the way of life. The community of faith takes us by the hand like a small child and leads us to the table, into the presence of God, into the presence of life itself. So no one here can teach you exactly what communion means or exactly how it works. Just as no one here can tell you exactly how to fix your marriage or pick a meaningful career or raise perfect children or conquer disease or addiction. But it is possible that someone might be able to show you. At the very least, they can bring you into the presence of the one who can. That's what our church is for. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue to remember victims of storms, both of Harvey and Houston and Texas and the folks affected by Irma. So we are continuing our offering for Presbyterian disaster assistance. If you would like to give to aid in the recovery efforts, you can put PDA in the memo line of your check, or you can give online through our website, making that same notation. We will continue to discern and discuss ways that we can respond to the unfolding needs, and we will certainly pray for those affected. So in gratitude for what we have received from God and in acknowledgement of those who have less, let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. God, at this time, we take stock of all that we have received from your hand. We thank you for the gifts of your Son and your Spirit, for the friendship we share in Christ, for this church and this community, for places of shelter and safety, for food and clothing and the necessities of life, for our families and ones we love. Nothing we can do can repay you for these incomparable gifts, so we worship you. We return what we have to you this day, trusting in your love and care for those who have less. Teach us to love as you love, to serve as you serve, and to give as you give in the way of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, today in particular, we thank you for safety and shelter, mindful of those who are in harm's way. We pray for all those affected by storms, particularly Hurricane Irma, for the people of small islands in great needs as they prepare the long process of rebuilding. For those in the midst of dark clouds and strong winds, we ask that your loving kindness protect all those threatened by the floods. And we pray especially for the homeless, the sick, the poor, and the vulnerable, and those most in danger from water and wind. Lord, in your mercy. God, we continue to remember those rebuilding in Houston, for those who have lost homes or livelihoods, for those who have lost loved ones and those who grieve, for what is left after the waters of the flood. God, hear the prayers of your people. Their cries of help and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Teach us how to serve, Lord, how to rebuild, and how to offer hope, the hope that you have so freely given to us. We pray for the recipients of our offerings and for Presbyterian disaster assistance, the Red Cross first responders, and so many others who offer money and time and self to help others. We pray for service and mission done closer to home, for our partnership with Blue Ridge Elementary and for children and teachers there, for patients at the Deo Clinic and the healing they receive from gifts and helping hands, for Luis Soriano and his operation, and his continuing inspiration and love for the children of rural Colombia. For Habitat for Humanity and Dock Up and others who give shelter. Send your Holy Spirit upon these and others as recipients of your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. And God, we remember people in our own lives, family, friends, church, in need of your love and care. For the sick, for Sally Wester, Dick Lowry, Ann Farrow, and others we remember. For those who love them and care for them. For those who grieve. Those who doubt. those who suffer silent wounds of the soul, which are no less painful and no less real. Give your comfort, your healing, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. These and all our prayers we offer in Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who walked on water and calmed the storm, the one who brought hope and healing to a broken people, and the one who teaches us to pray in the power of his Spirit, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We hear God's story so we can tell it, and we tell it by living it. So go out into the world and tell God's story. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.